FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with our producer Chad Ellis. And today we are joined in studio by our friend. I always call him a professional fisherman, but then he corrects me and says he's not a professional fisherman.
He fishes
with professional. Mike Marfell is here. He's a great fisherman. He's in the
Thanks,
studio.
Tony.
Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, of course, the co-host of Second Amendment Radio, is on assignment this week. He is somewhere fighting crime in this great country of ours. He's hiding somewhere in an alleyway, waiting for
a nondescript building.
Waiting to save somebody from crime. He is a true vigilante, that Aaron Tarlow. But in all honesty, Aaron will be back with us next week. Southern Armory, of course, the great sponsor, one of the great sponsors of Second Amendment Radio. Couldn't do the show without Aaron, and can't wait till he is back next week. Before we get rolling today, that song, Seven Nation Army, Mike, you have a vast musical appreciation. We were talking about the kind of music that you listen to, everything from Frank Sinatra to Dr. Dre. Yeah. Have you ever heard the Oak Ridge Boys version of Seven Nation Army?
I have not.
Do you know who the Oak Ridge Boys are, Chad?
I don't.
They are an old...
It was on every jukebox in the 80s.
They're an old country band. Have you ever heard the song Elvira?
Giddy up.
No.
Bop, bow, bow.
No.
My heart's on fire for Elvira. No, that was their hit.
Every jukebox in the 80s, yes, when I played baseball, man.
So they are an old country group, and it's kind of, there's a word for it. They're not a cappella, but there's like four of them that sing, and they all sing in different ranges. And, of course, they have the bass guy.
Like bop, the quartet.
Bop, mow, mow. Yeah. Okay. And he's good. And instead of the bass going dun, 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 he's with his voice going boom, 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 boom.
You're doing a good job, boom, though.
Yeah, that's not half bad. I mean,
and then the other guy comes in, you know, and I'm gonna let him
No, Tony's a rock star.
Oak Ridge Boys. No.
Brave, if nothing else.
But it's really funny because it's this old country guys and this bass singer doing the, instead of the bass line, doing the ball, 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 ball. And anyway, that was my little aside.
It's a good one.
Want to talk to you for a second about Southern Armory. Aaron's not here, but that doesn't mean that Southern Armory's not open and ready for your business. Of course, Southern Armory can handle all of your firearms needs, all of your personal protection needs, whether it is with a gun or other things, pepper spray, tasers, stun guns. They have all of it. They also offer CCW training, of course, advanced pistol classes. They have the simulator there.
I got to get a chance
simulator
to get in there.
Yeah, it's super cool. It is super cool. All of that for you out there at Southern Army. They have gear. They have equipment. They have it all. They have suppressors right now. Suppressors are on sale, 10% off at Southern Armory. Suppressors are probably what we get the most questions about here on Second Amendment Radio. Of course, people can submit those questions to me on Twitter, or they can go to Facebook, to the Second Amendment Radio page or the Southern Armory Facebook page. And people are always asking about suppressors, and they want to get suppressors. There's no better place to get those. And suppressors are silencers. Same piece of equipment, two words.
And they don't work exactly like the movie. It's not.
No, they do not work exactly like the movies. You could definitely still hear them, but it does take quite a bit of
time. It'll quiet it down, yeah. You have to go subsonic ammo to get them quieter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But suppressors are what we get the most questions and the most interest shown in of anything that we talk about here on the show. And right now, 10% off. It takes a while to get your suppressor, there's a whole lot involved. It's a lot actually harder to get a suppressor, or I guess I shouldn't say the word harder. There's just more paperwork and a bigger waiting.
There's a long trail
for for suppressors. So you can't, even though they have them in stock there at Southern Armory, you can't walk in, fill out some paperwork, and walk out. You've got to apply, then you've got to get your background check done, and you've got to get approved, and it takes longer than just buying a firearm. So don't wait. If you want a suppressor, you need to get going now, because you already got to go through that waiting period, and nobody is better at speeding up that waiting period than Southern Armory. They will get you the suppressor faster than anybody else, but there's still a lot of government paperwork that goes into that. So if you want to get your suppressor as quickly as you can, Southern Armory is the place to go. Chad, you said you had some information. So I talked about the CCW classes, advanced pistol classes, all coming up at Southern Armory. Do you have the dates?
Yes. The upcoming dates for the CCW classes, one is April 7th and the next one is April 27th.
There you go. Yeah, so
12 spots available. You gotta move fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And usually they do that just like that, a couple times a month, so you get your chance to get out there, get your CCW. Also check out those advanced pistol classes. Even if you have had your CCW for a while and you think that you are pretty efficient with your gun, it's always good to get that little refresher course, so that advanced pistol class can do that for you as well. I talked about the Facebook pages, Second Amendment Radio Facebook page, Southern Armory Facebook page, two great places to go to not only keep up with the show, but keep up with everything that is happening out at Southern Armory. Aaron has been doing a midweek check-in, a Facebook Live on Facebook, in the middle of the week, sometimes on Tuesdays, sometimes on Wednesday. But another very cool way to keep up with the show, and a great way to ask questions and get some information, great information from Aaron. So all of that for you at Southern Armory and at the Southern Armory Facebook page and the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. Here we go. Ready? Southern Armory is at 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270, and it's southernarmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com?
That's right. We got it. SouthernArmory.com. Go and check it out. And Aaron will be back next week, and we are looking forward to that. This week, though, we are going to be talking a whole lot about fishing.
Heck
because
yeah.
I am I'm pumped.
I got a tournament. I'm leaving as soon as I hit the studio.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Finally, sun in the sky. There's finally decently warm temperatures.
Love is in the air.
Love is in the air. And it is time to get back on the water. And I wanted to talk
to Some of
to
us
Mike.
Don't get off, but yeah.
So, real quick, just set your background up for people that maybe are not familiar with you.
Well, started fishing as a kid. Fishing tournament since I was 14. Was too cool to do it in high school, and we didn't have high school fishing, or I would have been doing it for sure. Yeah, got back into it after my divorce in 99, and got into it heavy. Like, traveled with the Elite Series as a co-angler, FLW as a co-angler, fished the Opens as a co-angler, and then started fishing locally as in the pro division down in the Ozarks probably about 2011. I won the Angler of the Year in 2012. And then just fell on my face in 13. I thought I had it figured out. It's like golf.
Yeah.
I think you got it figured out, and the next three go in the woods.
You know what? I have made that comparison. I've drawn the comparison to fishing and golf many,
absolutely.
Many times.
Head game. It's a head game.
My,
just like
my
golf.
Boss, who is our program director, Jeff Allen, who you know, is a very avid golfer.
He looks like a golfer.
He's not a fisherman at all. And every time I try to explain to him that it's very similar, he's not buying it.
It's similar to golf, chess, and guitar, I would say. You can do it a lifetime and never figure it out.
Right, right.
You can't figure it out.
Yep. And you know what? And the atmosphere. One of the reasons that I love to play golf is I love to be outside.
Birds chirping.
I like to see pretty.
And the funny pants.
Yeah. I like to see pretty landscapes. I like to look at the trees and the water. And
yeah, you come up over a hill at some of those golf courses.
Yeah, golf courses are beautiful like that, and being out on the water is beautiful.
Yep, same thing. Yeah.
They're both very.
Therapeutic.
They're both very skillful.
Yeah.
He always says that the difference between golf and fishing is that golf is a skill that you can learn and get better at, and fishing is all luck.
I just told her, I was talking to your receptionist, and I just told your producer when she said, oh, me and my husband, we never have any luck. And I was like, hate to break it to you, but luck's got nothing to do with
it. That is exactly right.
It's hard work, putting in the effort, understanding what the, trying to think like a fish.
Yeah.
It's lucky that your boat doesn't break down. That's a good thing when you, you know, got a live well full of fish or something. But yeah, it's not sitting on
as
a bucket
as
ground
you know,
of worms.
As long as you know that there are fish in that body of water,
I'm determined to catch
then
one.
You
of
can,
them.
Then you could catch them if you know
one
what
more
you're doing.
Cast. Yeah. One more cast.
So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the golf analogy
it's perfect.
Is something
it's
I
perfect.
Say all the
it's
time.
It's perfect.
But go ahead.
And then last year was probably my best year. I ended up winning the Webb Outdoor Championship. I didn't win a single event during the year, had a couple checks, a couple big basses, but made the championship and ended up winning that three-day tournament at Lake of the Ozarks, which has changed things for me as far as I got a new boat. I don't know how this will be my first tournament out of it this Saturday or this Sunday, excuse me. So kind of nervous that I'm not in the old SS Buck Nasty that I don't worry about. I spit on it, I bang it into stuff. Now I got a shiny one and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I've been telling myself I'm not changing anything. I always practice within 10 or 15 miles
of
takeoff.
So this is the boat that you won.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is beautiful. Did you see the boat? Did he show you a picture of it?
I have not seen
it. I
the
will
boat.
Show you.
Oh, at the break, I'll make him show you a picture.
I got a lot of compliments on one of the like Facebook Nitro thing page, and everybody's like, that is the coolest looking color scheme I've ever seen.
Well, it's funny that I've heard you talk about that boat and winning that tournament here in the last couple of weeks when you and I have just been talking off the air, and you said that when you won that tournament, when you won that boat, that you were the only guy on the water in a 1996 Ranger.
The most tricked out 96 boat you've ever seen. And I sold it last week, and the kid couldn't be more happy. Yeah, I was the only guy who was going to keep it. I think most of the top 10 or 12 that day were pretty much full-time. You know, they're way more considered. You could call them way more professional than I, for sure.
Yeah.
Local guides, guys like that.
And they win a boat like that and they just donate it or something.
Well, they already got a boat deal usually.
Yeah.
You know, they have a sponsor deal. Yeah. So.
But you kept that boat.
And I did keep that boat.
And now you.
I upgraded that boat.
So now, listen, you've been fishing in that 96 Ranger for so long. You won Angler of the Year in that boat. You won this boat in that boat.
It's got some mojo.
How does it? Yeah. Are you?
I'm nervous.
Are you?
A little bit.
Is there some superstition going on?
I don't
in your
have
brain
superstition,
right
but I'm just going to try to keep my strategies the same. Like I was just saying, I never went too far because my boat wasn't going to beat anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I wanted to do was make a 50-mile run and get to the spot that I wanted to fish, and there's already somebody there.
Right.
So I always stayed wherever the tournament was. I'd stay 15 miles either direction, usually of the ramp, the takeoff. So I'm going to try to keep things the same. I'm not going to think, oh, now I can go 90 miles. Let's go 90 miles just for the sake of it.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Right.
So, yeah, but I'm a little nervous. You know, it's bigger. You know, the other one fit me like a glove.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just know when I turn the wheel, this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had this boat
and it's not,
broke
we,
in yet.
We haven't had very much great weather.
I've got 3.4 hours on the new one.
Okay. So you've
water
been...
was 35 degrees when I was running it. I was trying to. After I broke it in, I was trying to figure out how fast it would go or where I needed to hide from the motor. And I looked around. There wasn't a soul to be seen on the lake. And the water is that cold. And the thing started walking on me a little bit. And I was like, let's get thrown out of the boat in July. Not now when nobody's coming to get us. So I shut her down. But yeah, the new V8 Mercury 4-stroke is a beast. It is a beast for sure. But we're going to figure that out this weekend or try to.
That's great stuff. Before we get too much into all the fishing talk that I want to do, do you have any social media, anything like that?
I have a Facebook page, but it's just me rambling and senselessly. I'm wanting to start a YouTube page this season.
Yeah.
But
if you do that,
I'm worried. That's the other thing. I am worried that it cuts into my fishing by mounting GoPros and doing all that. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I'd rather concentrate on catching fish. And then what I want to do is I want to sit down in the boat in the garage post tournaments. So this will be my first tournament out of the boat and discuss what happened at the tournament.
Right. And there you go.
Where I made right turns, where I should have went left, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And explain, you know, I want to talk to the winner of the tournament afterwards and then explain on the, you know, how they caught the fish or as honest as they'll be, which everybody's usually pretty honest post-tournament.
Right.
You know, maybe not with the masses, but with, you know, with
the
their friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I want to do. I just want to do a set, because, and then maybe graduate to where I start mounting cameras. Right now, they won't let a second person ride with us. The rules won't allow. Because I had a young man that wanted to learn about fishing, so he was willing to come ride with me and run the cameras, so I didn't have to mess with it. And right now, because we fish by ourselves, they won't allow. They don't want to do that
because they could help you in some way.
Well, not everybody has another person in the boat. So they want to keep it as even a playing field as possible.
Gotcha.
Plus, we all pay an extra fee for lie detector. Everybody in our tournaments, you know, you get there's I think there's the winner and two other people get lie detected at every
turn. For real?
Oh yeah.
No
kidding.
Because
we fish by ourselves. You keep everything on the up and up. Yeah.
No kidding. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of money in the line.
Keeps you from telling fish stories, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they just don't want to add any more people to the mix. So I want to try to change that, because it would really help promote me and the tournament organization if we could do that.
Yeah.
I just don't want to mess with the cameras. I really don't.
Yeah. If they put a camera in every boat, though, then they wouldn't have to do a
lie detector
test. That's
true. That's true.
I mean, watch you.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But you got 70 to 90 anglers in each one of our solo ones, so that's a lot of GoPros.
Sure. So. All right, we're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, Mike Marfell, who is in studio with us, we are going to talk about the beginning of the new fishing season. The weather is turning around. I know that I am going to be getting down to the Lake of the Ozarks very soon. I've already been out fishing a little bit this year, but that's because I'm crazy, and maybe some of you guys are too. We're going to talk about fishing a whole lot today, so don't go anywhere. It's Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
I didn't walk away with a boat, right. I got a pat on the back and a lot more accolades. People knew who I was then,
right.
I mean, for sure. Coming from Illinois, when I first started fishing down there, that year I was lie detected many, many times, even though I didn't fish, because I was like, who's this kind of hippie-looking, long-haired guy cashing checks? So...
I didn't realize that lie detector tests were such a big part of big tournaments.
Yeah,
I've never fished
the Big Bass Bash does it for sure.
I've never fished in a big enough tournament, nor
now,
been anywhere close to the top.
A lot of
team
tournaments, they don't necessarily do that,
right.
Or co-angler where it's a draw where you sign up. They don't do that. But this solo thing, you're by yourself, and we have pretty good amount of money on the line, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do silly stuff for money.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
I don't
I don't get that.
Money,
I don't
prestige.
Seek out information or any of that stuff. I can't catch your fish anyway. So.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about this time of year. We are just about to be what I would call full swing of fishing season. Right now, it's still a little
late
bit
winter,
chilly.
Early pre-spawn is what I would call it. Yeah,
it's a little chilly still, and I know
the water was 42 at the lake last weekend, something like that.
So, talk about when you think is the best time to start fishing.
Right now,
yeah,
right now as it's water's trending, the big fish are wanting to move up. They're grouped up. They're wanting to get shallow.
Yeah.
And I always say when the nights, this is kind of tricky, but when the nights do not get colder than the water temperature, it's really game on.
Okay.
And the same way in the fall,
I understand
when
that.
The nights get colder, then the water temperature starts dropping that water. The fish realize, days are getting longer.
Changing.
Yeah, things are changing. It's time to do our thing. It's time to move up there and spawn.
Okay. So talk to a guy like me who is an avid fisherman, who has a boat and gets out as much as I can on the weekends and things like that, but I am definitely at my best when conditions are at their best. I can go fishing in the warm spring, early fall, dead of summer, and I'm feeling good and confident about where I'm going.
You don't see
a
lot of people holding up big fishing pictures without stocking caps on their heads.
Yeah.
That's what I'll tell you.
Okay, we'll see that. So
the big ones,
I'm more intimidated
by, and they don't come out until it's time to spawn.
I'm more intimidated by this cold weather. Now, to your point, I have caught some of the biggest bass I've ever caught in very cold weather.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
What is the difference? What kind of changes do I need to be making to the way I fish?
Well, you got to remember they're cold-blooded, so they're going to be moving slow.
Okay.
So what's the
best way to get down to get them?
Presentation. I will be straight up honest. I am packing my boat to go this weekend, and I'm a simple dude. I'm taking jigs, jerk baits, chatter baits, and maybe some spinner baits, and that's it. And those last two probably won't even get thrown.
Right.
if they'll bite the jig or the jerk bait. That's it. Jerk bait because it's you jerk it and let it set still. It just suspends there.
Yeah.
So they can see it, and it's just sitting there, and they're like, hmm. They ease a little closer to it, and then it you snap it, and it moves a little bit more, and eventually they'll make their way to it. Or if you bring in one, if they see it coming. So it's moving slow.
Yeah.
They don't have to rush out and get it. You can't go burning a spinner bait this time of year. They're not.
Because they're moving slow.
Yeah, because they're moving slow.
Are they deeper right now?
No. I mean, they'll be near deep water, but shallow, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Channel swings. On a point where there's deep water close by, but they'll move up and sun themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the docks. They'll hang and sun themselves there. Can you catch them deep? Yes.
Right.
It's not my thing.
Yeah.
I'm not good at catching suspended fish. That's an Alabama rig thing. You can throw it out there, count it down.
Is that thing, is the Alabama rig still?
Oh, it's a huge thing. It's illegal in the Webb Outdoors tournament that I fish. We don't allow any multi-hook, multi-bait rigs.
Do they allow it in the big tournament? Like in... Bassmasters, no.
Bassmasters
like
Elite does not, FLW does not anymore, but the next level down does.
Yeah.
And then all the team tournaments and that. Most of the tournaments
remember,
through the winter
that,
are
like
won
3 years,
on that.
4 years ago, that thing just took over
the
world.
Oh, it was crazy, yeah.
Everybody
you'd see people on the bank at PB2s launching that thing. You almost had to wear a helmet at Coffeen Lake because there's so many people throwing that thing. I don't like it, and it's not an ethical or moral or any of that crap because you can catch multiple fish at a time on it. It's a tangled mess, and it's heavy, and it's... I like making precision casts with a jig, you know, skipping it back under docks and that sort of thing. That lobbing that thing all day just doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
I don't... But you're going to get beat by it in the wintertime if it's allowed.
Yeah. Let's you mentioned Coffeen Lake. If somebody's getting into fishing or they're looking for more places to fish, maybe they know of, like, their one city pond, you know, that is near them, or, you know, maybe Spanish Lake, you know, or something like
sure.
that they are, or Creve Coeur Lake, you know, some of the more well-known things right around here, but within, you know, just within driving distance, an hour or so driving distance of the St. Louis metro area.
It's
some
tough.
Of the lakes that you can go and fish?
Coffeen is probably the best one that's within an hour, I would say.
Yeah.
Litchfield Lake is not a bad lake. Now, these lakes you have to get a city permit or a day permit. You know, they're not like Lake of the Ozarks where you can just pay to launch. You have to have a sticker.
Go. Yeah.
Coffeen, you do not. But it is a horsepower limit. I believe it's 25 horsepower
limit.
Yeah,
I think you're right about that.
But if you have a big boat, they'll allow you to use the motor to put it on and off the trailer, and then you can use your trolling motor.
Mm-hmm.
I take the old Ranger there, and I'd put it in, just use the trolling motor.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi River, out of sight.
Really?
It's great bass fishing. Tricky to navigate. You got to be a little... But, you know, you can find a little creek or a marina and launch and just fish in there if you're intimidated by getting out on the channel, which a lot of people are, and rightfully so. Carlisle's not a bad lake. It's on the comeback.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of high school bass fishing has been planting brush there the last 4 or 5 years because that's where they have their state championship tournament a lot of times. It's a lot better than people think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good to know. I used to camp at Carlisle Lake with my grandparents when I was a kid, and it's a beautiful lake, but I never did any fishing there.
I grew up fishing that lake. Actually lived on it when I was in my early 20s.
Uh-huh.
Little bit further away, but Kincaid Lake,
okay.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Now, what about Creve Coeur?
Fished it. I'm sure there's fishing. They know they tried to clean all the Asian carp out of it.
Yeah.
Bass can live in a ditch.
That,
I mean, you know, they're everywhere.
I have fished Creve Coeur, and I've had a little bit of luck there. I've only fished there once or twice, though, and I did have an Asian carp.
Yeah, you catch one?
Fly right over the top of my boat.
Yeah. It's weird, because
that lake, you can't have any gas, so it was a trolling motor was the only thing going.
And that'll make them freak out.
Still enough
absolutely.
To stir it up and freak out an Asian carp.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this thing was like a torpedo.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I had never seen them before. I know you've seen them
a lot. I've seen them a lot. Yeah, but, it's spooky. What's weird, though, is they coexist. I had a day on the Mississippi where I was just out fun fishing when I lived in Alton. This has been about 2 years ago, maybe three. Caught three Asian carp on a spinnerbait. And I'm like, well, on a huge laydown up a creek.
Yeah.
A giant oak tree, freshly fallen in. Turned around and came back at it from a different angle and started throwing a jig at it, and I ended up catching a limit of bass to the tune of almost 18 pounds
really?
Off of one tree in the same tree where those Asian carp are at.
Wow.
So I don't know. It makes it a pain.
Yeah.
I mean, because the first one I hooked, I was like, oh, I'm onto something.
This is a monster.
Realized, yeah.
And it's an Asian carp.
Yeah, they tug a little. They're big. But yeah, they I don't know enough about them, but I do know they coexist.
Yeah.
I mean, I also know that every once in a while, your fish finder or your locator, your graph, whatever people want to call it, will just go black, like the bottom, like it's just solid. There's so many of them there that it's,
yeah,
it just goes black. They're just that thick.
Wow.
And it's a huge, they're a huge problem.
Yeah.
But I don't, I'm not smart enough to know.
And
what
they're
you
dangerous.
Do about it. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's pontoon boats on the Mississippi now that they're just netted in like a batting cage net because they'll just fly into the boat, knock people off the boat. So,
yeah.
You'll see incredible. Guys, the commercial fishermen now with the big plexiglass shield to keep them from flying up and hitting them.
That's amazing.
You know? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know how you get rid of them. But,
right.
But it doesn't hurt the bass fishing, it doesn't seem. And, in fact, the bass eat them when they're small enough. They just grow so fast.
Yeah, and multiply so fast.
Yeah, they multiply so fast. And, and they're good to eat. I've had them.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of grind them up, make patties out of them.
Yep. I'll say Spanish Lake, too. I don't know how often you get up
I've
north.
Never went up to North County and fished up there.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it, but it's in Valley Park, kind of off the Merrimack. Is that George Winter Park there?
Oh.
There's some lakes, there's some little lakes there along Simpson Park, maybe.
Yeah.
I've never fished them, but man, when I was there for a baseball
barbecue. I think
barbecue,
it's called Simpson Lake.
I was like, I would like to get a set of waders and just wade around the edge of this.
So the reason I bring this up is because I want people to realize that there are plenty of places to go.
Oh, heck yeah.
There are lots of places to go, and there's a lot of...
I work in Midtown, and I tried fishing Lafayette Square Pond, that little bitty thing there. I didn't catch anything, but I gave it a whirl.
Right.
I mean, I didn't cast across it, but I thought, well, bass live about anywhere. I'll give it a whirl.
Right, exactly. And you'd be surprised. And, you know, you probably, your city or municipality might have a park with a pond or a lake in it, a subdivision. Now, you can't just go in every subdivision and fish in the lake, but if you know the right people, you know, you can hit up those subdivision ponds and little lakes. And
if you promise to bring them back to them or maybe take them with you, sometimes you can get people to do that.
Yeah, there's plenty of places to go.
I got into a subdivision lake, I won't even mention which one, over in Illinois one time, and it was strictly because I said, there's a lot of trash. You know, I just walked around one day and picked up all the trash and then went to one of the homeowners and asked, hey, I picked up this trash, you think I could fish here? And I'll keep a bag on me, and any trash I see along the way, I'll pick up. And okay.
That's great.
So, I mean,
because
I'm real, even in a tournament, I see a can floating. I won't go way out of my way.
Right.
But I pick it up because I know I have stuff accidentally blowing the water. Right. So try to do the karma thing. You know?
So if there are, if people can get out and they can find these places to fish, they can find these lakes, what do you tell somebody that's just getting started? Maybe they want to take their kids out for the first time, but they don't have any gear. They don't really know what they're doing. What's the best way just to get started? What do you store and buy? Bluff City Outdoors, a big sponsor of mine in the Weekend Report. Had them on the radio many times.
And you can't beat fishing with live bait.
You're going to Bluff City and you're in Alton and you're gearing up for the first time. What are you getting?
I'm sure everybody in there can help you, but learn to fish with live bait. As if you got a kid, they'll catch fish. It'll keep them entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they get older, you can move to the artificial. And once you get the hook in them, no pun intended, you can you can move on. But yeah, live, it doesn't even have to be minnows. It could be worms or crickets. And you'll catch a little bit of everything. You'll catch a catfish. You'll catch a bass. You'll catch a lot of bluegill.
Yeah.
And that'll get them hooked, you know. And then as they get older, a 12, 13-year-old, if you got a kid that's an athlete, you can show him how learning how to cast a bait caster and bass fishing is an athletic prowess in itself.
For
sure. To be good at it.
Oh, yeah.
To be really, really good at it. You watch the Elite. I was watching some of the Bassmaster Classic last weekend. And these guys that can flip with their left hand, their right hand, you know, back and forth, just depending on what's... I'm good, but I am not that good. I'm a counterclockwise guy because I'm right-handed, very right-handed.
Right.
And I approach things in a certain way that allows me to cast right-handed.
Yeah.
At that level, to be that efficient, you have to do both.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I've had some of the most fun fishing with a bobber and a worm.
Absolutely.
It'll keep kids busy. Especially when you got kids with you.
You go down a dock at Lake of the Ozarks and drop a bobber and a minnow, and you're going to catch something.
Yeah. I've had my kids and friends' kids, and there's four or five kids. They all got Iron Man fishing poles
right.
with bobbers and worms on them, and I can't keep up. I'm the only adult down there.
Oh yeah, you need more arms.
It's got to take the fish off
and hook,
put a new worm on the hook. And I'm just going from one kid to the other. Boom, 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 boom. Because they are just dropping them in.
That's
and
awesome.
Pulling out fish, and the kids love it.
That's amazing. It's funny because people think, oh, I'm going to take this catfish pole and stick it down here at Lake of the Ozarks, cast it out, and go up in the house and do something. I came into my buddies after a tournament, and I was all bummed out, and I seen something floating.
Yeah.
I was like, what was that? And I picked it up, and it was a handle of, I thought it was a wiffle ball bat. I pulled it up as a brand new from Bass Pro Shops Cat Max rod, still had the zip ties on it and the barcode, and it started tugging back. Long story short, I couldn't move it. And I got on the trolling motor and went back to my buddy's dock, and it was about a 45-pound blue.
No kidding.
On the end of it.
And just taking
it. They just stuck it, you know, in a rod holder and walked away.
Right.
You don't do that. I mean, there's some giant catfish down there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought I didn't know if I had a scuba diver or what was on there, you know. It was just, I couldn't budge it. I'd start to move it, and it'd pull me, and so I just drug it with the trolling motor. We went and got it. So cast off if you go down there in the summertime for vacation, don't hesitate to just buy a cheap rod and reel and
right.
Go to any of the tackle stores down there. They'll help you out.
We're talking to Mike Marfell about fishing, and we've got more to go, so don't go anywhere. It's Second Amendment Radio. Got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. We're just telling fish stories off the air. And
True ones, only true ones.
That's what we're doing today on Second Amendment Radio. Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, my normal co-host of the show, is out this week. Aaron will be back next week.
So not only a co-host, right? Firefighter,
pilot,
EMT training. The guy does it all.
Gun store owner, firefighter, pilot, vigilante warrior. He's all
international man of mystery.
He is all the above, and he is out this week, but Aaron Tarlow will be back next week. Chad Ellis, our great producer, is in studio. I'm Tony Colombo, and that is Mike Marfell, fisherman.
Hey.
I won't say professional
that's
fisherman.
Right.
I'll just say the fisherman. Talking about weather turning around here this week, we're officially now into spring, and it's going to be that time
is
where
it officially spring?
It is officially spring. I think it was.
Man, I got to pay attention.
Thursday was the first full day of spring.
Nice.
I think. Yeah, so we are there. It you look outside, you see the blue skies, the weather's warming up, and it's time to start getting back into those outdoor activities.
It's not fishing, but it's close. There's been gray morels found.
Yeah.
Friends of mine have already found. So, yeah, it's time to go morel hunting, too.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think about the about fishing becoming more and more? Or do you believe that it's because I think it is, but I don't want to presume that everybody believes this. I think fishing is becoming more and more, not accepted, but it's becoming.
Oh yeah, it's
looked
coming.
At as a sport. You're seeing more of it on television. You're
high school
more,
fishing has a lot to do with that.
High school fishing teams,
college fishing.
Yeah.
You know, giving scholarships to high school kids going into college.
What do you attribute that to? Why is fishing? Why is the popularity of fishing now? I mean, people have been fishing.
I don't know. That's a good. I think the marketing people at places like Bassmaster and FLW and their sponsors are smart enough to realize that. You get kids into fishing. Now they're buying rods and reels from the time they're 18 till they're dead versus me and you.
You think outdoor activities in general are just kind of either making a comeback or
I think
cool.
Everything cycles, and parents might be pushing kids that way too. We get them off that Xbox, PlayStation, that sort of thing.
I'm sure you have, but maybe not everybody has seen Major League Fishing on television.
Love it.
Where they actually have found a way to make fishing a
it's
sport.
It's some of the best televised fishing show ever.
With a clock, you know, sports. Yeah. Most sports
there's
have a clock.
There's penalties. Yeah. There's a guy weighing the fish. Every fish counts if it's over. And it's even evolved over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Do you enjoy watching MLS?
It's my favorite form of fishing to watch on television by far.
I totally agree. I would love to participate.
They are working on, from what I understand, they're working on getting to where guys like me and you, they'll have a local MLF type event, go through some qualifications, and then, you know, one or two or three or however many they come up with, we'll be able to go fish with those guys.
Yeah.
You're going to get your butt handed to you when you get there, but
that's okay.
You're going to learn
a lot too.
Yes. And, you know, and the recent shakeup in fishing from, you know, the FLW and Elite Series guys jumped to the Bass Pro Tour MLF format to the tune of about 80 of them, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So it was a really weird Bassmaster Classic this year. You've seen guys like Kevin Van Dam, Mike Iaconelli, Gerald Swindle, longtime Bassmaster guys fishing their last Bassmaster Classic ever because they jumped over to the MLF.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So they were pretty emotional knowing that.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's good for the sport overall. MLS, that moves them up and lets guys like myself could inspire to get to the Elite Series.
So it's not just Bassmaster and Bassmaster Classic as the top of the food chain anymore.
No,
now there's
not.
More. With
They're
MLS.
Great anglers, but yeah. A lot of those really good guys moved over to that other format because
MLS.
It's a true profession. There's no entry fee.
Yeah,
that was always my hang up, even more so than you calling me a professional. Is them calling them, they are professionals because that's their job, but they were still paying an entry fee. They're fishing for their own money.
Right.
You can't imagine paying Jeff Allen $40,000 to come to work hoping you can make it back.
I have done that, but
yeah, I think
it's a long story.
You know, if you have a passion for anything, you're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to volunteer to be a football coach at a bottom level before you make it to the...
You know, I honestly thought that they were all connected in some way.
No.
I didn't realize Major League Fishing, MLF, was so...
No, separate entities. FLW is a separate entity.
Yeah.
Then Bass.
Yeah.
And then the Bass Pro Tour, Major League Fishing.
Yeah. That's
now,
crazy.
Johnny Morris owns Bass Pro and is a big part of the MLF. And he also sponsors both the other two.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's just got his hands.
It's a place for everybody.
I mean,
the way I look at
Major
it is now you have the big top dogs professional fishing in a completely different format than a five fish format. I know a lot of guys that don't like it because they're like, oh, I don't want to watch somebody catch 40 1-pounders.
Right.
I want to see a guy come in with 5 5-pounders.
Right.
Well, usually the guy that ends up winning
has that.
He has the 40 1-pounders, but then he caught a 5 and a 6 there too, and that's what made the difference.
Exactly.
So
I like that. I like that Major League Fishing. I mean, it's got a scoreboard, it's got a clock, it's got periods.
It makes a little drama. You see the drama. Yeah, it's got penalties. Fish can't, touch the carpet.
Yeah.
Great for the fish because they never go in the live well. They get measured and released.
Yep.
I was watching, I think it was Edwin Evers that was doing it in under 11 seconds or something crazy.
That's crazy.
Because he's a 100 mile an hour kind of guy anyway. He would get him in, the fish would weigh him and have him back in the water in 7, 10 seconds.
That goes to what I've talked about many times when it comes to fishermen, hunters, outdoors people in general. They're the ones that are taking care of.
The ones picking up trash along the pond.
Yeah, they're the ones taking care of the environment. You know, people think, oh, you're out there killing, you're killing deer or you're hooking these fish and you're pulling them out of their natural environment. But the fishermen and hunters, they're the ones out there that are doing all
the cleaning.
Plus
the information that we pass along to DNR or whoever, those numbers help them. Like I said, I'll be in a tournament and snag some crappie fisherman's line in a brush pile. I take the time to
clean it all
out.
Try
to get as much of it as I can.
Yep.
A, I want to see what's on the end of it. I haven't caught my first Alabama rig yet. I know there's a bunch of those stuck to the bottom at Lake of the Ozarks, but I want to get it out of there. Like I said, because I'm going to have a can or something blow in the water that I didn't see.
Yeah.
So just do your part while you're out there. More and more places like at PB2, they're putting a place to recycle your line or your spent plastics.
Mm-hmm.
I save all my spent plastics in a big Ziploc and then I give them to, I think it's a high school team somewhere that takes all this recycled plastic and then they melt it down and mold their own. So I just donate it to them. I don't remember.
That's cool.
Maybe next time I'll try to remember, pass that information along because I use a lot of it.
Sure.
And I'm not a guy that throws it back in the water.
Right.
The new Nitro has a trash can, which is an awesome feature.
it's a boat with a trash can.
Yeah, right.
Can't beat
so
that.
You can throw all that stuff in there, and then get rid of it the proper way. So
talk a little bit about, avid fisherman, a guy like me who loves to fish, but knows that he's got a lot to learn. And especially when they go to some of these bigger lakes like Table Rock, Lake of the Ozarks, you may know one or two coves, but you don't, it's so vast.
I have a system.
Well, talk about the system and talk about the guides.
Okay. I will do both. My system is when I go to Lake of the Ozarks, leaving right after the show, when I go down there, I never fish a cove I've been in. If I'm going to be there for 3 days practicing, two of those days are going to be spent somewhere I've never been.
Mm.
I'm going to go into a cove and act like there's a dam on the front of it, and that's one little lake, and I fish the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I might, if they're small enough, I might be able to do two of them. If they're big enough, I might be able to do one in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But A, you learn a lot about that cove. Lake of the Ozarks, very patternable within a, this is not, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, it's my theory. Within 10 miles, it's patternable. doesn't mean you can take that pattern and go to the other end of the lake and do it. I mean, you're catching him on chunk rock, secondary points, halfway back in X amount of feet of water. You can probably move to the next cove within a few miles and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. If the wind's the same direction, all that kind of good jazz, and there's bait present. So I try to do that. And that way, A, it gives me a great amount of waypoints, because as I'm fishing along, I'm marking brush piles that I come across, that sort of thing. The other great way to learn, if you're really wanting to learn, two ways, really. Don't be intimidated. Go fish as a co-angler in a BFL or any anglers in, you know, any of the Anglers in Action, Joe Bass, any of the things that have co-angler formats. Just go sign up and go fishing. You'll get put with mostly, I've had mostly great experiences. Now, no pains in the butt in the front of the boat. I've always been super nice to my co-anglers because I used to be one. That's a great way to learn. And the other way is go hire a guide. I still hire guides on lakes I've been on. But there's a big list of them. I mean, Mike Webb that runs ours, Eric Prey. There's, I think, Bass and Bob's got a whole stable of guys down there that, that guide at Lake of the Ozarks. Don't be afraid to hire them. And they love to talk fishing, so pick their brain. Don't be quiet.
Right.
Just keep picking. You're paying $400 or whatever. Just keep picking. They love it.
Keep asking questions.
They love it. I mean, Mike Webb's been guiding, I think, for 30 years at Table Rock.
Wow.
He's forgotten more about that lake than most people know.
Right.
And he's a really good, what I call a video game fisherman.
Yeah.
He can fish vertically and watch the fish bite on the graph.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mike's really, really good at that.
Right.
I'm not, but that's why I would go to Mike.
Right.
Hey, teach me.
Yeah.
Show me. I've just switched from Lowrance to Hummingbird. I'm going to go hire somebody that's a Hummingbird guy to help me speed up the learning curve.
Yeah.
I was up to 130 last night. Transferring all my Lowrance waypoints to Hummingbird format and deleting any extras. And yeah, I got it down to like 5,000, I think, is what I've got. The kid that bought my boat really wanted me to leave him, but I left the music, but he wasn't getting those.
He wasn't getting those. No. That's great stuff. Unfortunately, we are just about out of time. Mike Marfell, the fisherman, has been in here with us for this edition.
Hey,
of
watch Anglers in Action on Facebook. I believe you can watch their weigh-ins. A lot of the tournaments down there, people don't know that. So you can get an idea. Guys talk on, if you're going down to Lake of the Ozarks, not only Bass and Bob, but watch the Facebook weigh-ins, the live stream feeds of the weigh-ins, and you guys will explain how they caught them, where they, you know, not exact, but gives you an idea, starting point.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
No,
right?
That's all you need.
That's the fun, is figuring out yourself, right?
Anglers in Action on Facebook. Check it out.
Anglers in Action and Web Outdoors on Facebook. When we have a tournament, they post the weigh-ins live.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Mike, I love talking fishing. I appreciate
you
being in this week. I hope we can have you back real soon.
I hope so, too. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, you bet. Aaron Tarlow will be back next week, and we hope that you are back next week. For producer Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Big thanks to Mike Marfell, and thank you to you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Quick break, and we'll be right back on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. We're just telling fish stories off the air. And
True ones, only true ones.
That's what we're doing today on Second Amendment Radio. Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, my normal co-host of the show, is out this week. Aaron will be back next week.
So not only a co-host, right? Firefighter,
pilot,
EMT training. The guy does it all.
Gun store owner. Firefighter, pilot, vigilante warrior. He's all
international man of mystery.
He is all the above, and he is out this week. But Aaron Tarlow will be back next week. Chad Ellis, our great producer, is in studio. I'm Tony Colombo, and that is Mike Marfell, fisherman.
Hey.
I won't say professional fisherman.
That's right.
I'll just say the fisherman. Talking about weather turning around here this week. We're officially now into spring, and it's going to be that time.
Is it officially spring?
It is officially spring. I think it was.
Man, I got to pay attention.
Thursday was the first full day of spring.
Nice.
I think. Yeah, so we are there. You look outside, you see the blue skies, the weather's warming up, And it's time to start getting back into those outdoor activities.
It's not fishing, but it's close. There's been gray morels found.
Yeah.
Friends of mine have already found. So, yeah, it's time to go morel hunting, too.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think about the about fishing becoming more and more? Or do you believe that it's because I think it is, but I don't want to presume that everybody believes this. I think fishing is becoming more and more not accepted, but it's becoming
It's
looked at as a sport. You're seeing more of it on television.
High school fishing has a lot to do with that.
High school fishing teams.
College fishing, you know, giving scholarships to high school kids going into college.
What do you attribute that to? Why is fishing, why is the popularity of fishing now? I mean, people have been fishing.
I don't know. That's a good, I think the marketing people at places like Bassmaster and FLW and their sponsors are smart enough to realize that you get kids into fishing. Now they're buying rods and reels from the time they're 18 till they're dead versus me and you.
You think outdoor activities in general are just kind of either making a comeback or be or
I think
cool.
Everything cycles, and parents might be pushing kids that way too. We get them out of off that Xbox, PlayStation, that sort of thing.
If anybody, if you, I'm sure you have, but maybe not everybody has seen Major League Fishing on television.
Love it.
Where they actually have found a way to make fishing a
it's
sport.
Some of the best televised fishing show ever.
With a clock, you know, sports, most sports
there's
have a clock.
There's penalties. Yeah. There's a guy weighing the fish. Every fish counts if it's over. And it's even evolved over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Do you enjoy watching MLS?
It's my favorite form of fishing to watch on television by far.
I totally agree. I would love to participate.
They are working on, from what I understand, they're working on getting to where guys like me and you, they'll have a local MLF type event, go through some qualifications, and then, you know, one or two or three or however many they come up with, we'll be able to go fish with those guys.
Yeah.
You're going to get your butt handed to you when you get there. But
that's okay.
That's okay.
You're going to learn a lot, too.
Yes. And, you know, and the recent shakeup in fishing from, you know, the FLW and Elite Series guys jumped to the Bass Pro Tour MLF format, to the tune of about 80 of them, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So it was a really weird Bassmaster Classic this year. You've seen guys like Kevin Van Dam, Mike Iaconelli, Gerald Swindle, longtime Bassmaster guys, fishing their last Bassmaster Classic ever because they jumped over to the MLF.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So they were pretty emotional knowing that.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's good for the sport overall.
MLS,
that moves them up and lets guys like myself could inspired to get to the Elite Series.
So it's not just Bassmaster and Bassmaster Classic as the top of the food chain anymore.
No,
now
it's
there's
not.
More.
They're great anglers, but a lot of those really good guys moved over to that other format because
MLS.
It's a true profession. There's no entry fee.
Yeah.
That was always my hang up, even more so than you calling me a professional, is them calling them, they are professionals because that's their job, but they were still paying an entry fee. They're fishing for their own money.
Right.
You can't imagine paying Jeff Allen $40,000 to come to work, hoping you can make it back.
I have done that, but
I think
it's a long story.
You know, if you have a passion for anything, you're gonna have to do that.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to volunteer to be a football coach at a bottom level before you make it to the.
You know, I honestly thought that they were all connected in some way.
No,
I didn't realize Major League Fishing MLF was so
no, separate entities. FLW is a separate entity.
Yeah.
Then Bass,
and
then the Bass Pro Tour, Major League Fishing.
Yeah. That's
now
crazy.
Johnny Morris owns Bass Pro and is a big part of the MLF, and he also sponsors both the other two.
Yeah,
I mean he's
just got his
it's a place for everybody.
Right.
I mean,
right?
The way I look at
Major
it
League
is
fishing,
now you have the big top dogs professional fishing in a completely different format than a five fish format. I know a lot of guys that don't like it because they're like, "Oh, I don't want to watch somebody catch 40 1 pounders."
Right.
I want to see a guy come in with 5 5 pounders.
Right.
Well, usually the guy that ends up winning
has that.
He has the 41 pounders, but then he caught a 5 and a 6 there too, and that's what made the difference.
Exactly.
So
I like that. I like that Major League Fishing. I mean, it's got a scoreboard, it's got a clock, it's got periods.
This makes,
it's got
it
penalties.
Makes a little drama. You see the drama. Yeah, it's got penalties. Fish can't, you know, touch the carpet.
Yeah.
Great for the fish because they never go in the live well. They get measured and released.
Yep.
I was watching, I think it was Edwin Evers that was doing it in under 11 seconds or something crazy.
That's crazy.
Because he's a 100 mile an hour kind of guy anyway. He would get him in, the fish would weigh him and have him back in the water in 7, 10 seconds.
That goes to what I've talked about many times when it comes to fishermen, hunters, you know, outdoors people in general. They're the ones that are taking care of.
The ones picking up trash along the pond.
Yeah, they're the ones taking care of the environment. You know, people think, oh, you're out there killing, you know, you're killing deer or you're you know, hooking these fish and you're pulling them out of their natural environment. But the fishermen and hunters, they're the ones out there that are doing
all the information
cleaning.
That we pass along to DNR, whoever, those numbers help them. Like I said, I'll be in a tournament and snag some crappie fishermen's line in a brush pile. I take the time to
clean it all
try
out.
To get as much of it as I can. Yep. A, I want to see what's on the end of it. I haven't caught my first Alabama rig yet. I know there's a bunch of those stuck to the bottom at Lake of the Ozarks, but I want to get it out of there. Like I said, because I'm going to have a can or a something blow in the water that I didn't see.
Yeah.
So just do your part while you're out there. You know, more and more places like at PB2, they're putting a place to recycle your line or your spent plastics.
Mm-hmm.
I save all my spent plastics in a big Ziploc, and then I give them. I think it's a high school team somewhere that takes all this recycled plastic, and then they melt it down and mold their own. So I just donate it to them. I don't remember.
That's cool.
Maybe next time I'll try to remember, pass that information along, because I use a lot of it. I mean,
sure.
And I'm not a guy that throws it back in the water.
Right. You know?
The new Nitro has a trash can, which is an awesome feature.
Yeah, it's a boat with a trash can.
Yeah, right.
Can't beat
that. So you can throw all that stuff in there, you know, and then get rid of it the proper way. So
talk a little bit about, avid fisherman, a guy like me who loves to fish, but knows that he's got a lot to learn. And especially when they go to some of these bigger lakes like Table Rock, Lake of the Ozarks. You know, you may know one or two coves, but you don't, you know, it's so vast.
I have a system.
Well, talk about the system and talk about the guides.
Okay, I will do both. My system is when I go to Lake of the Ozarks, leaving right after the show, when I go down there, I never fish a cove I've been in. If I'm going to be there for 3 days practicing, two of those days are going to be spent somewhere I've never been.
Mm.
I'm going to go into a cove and act like there's a dam on the front of it, and that's one little lake, and I fish the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I might, if they're small enough, I might be able to do two of them. If they're big enough, I might be able to do one in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But A, you learn a lot about that cove. Lake of the Ozarks, very patternable within I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's my theory. Within 10 miles, it's patternable. Doesn't mean you can take that pattern and go to the other end of the lake and do it. I mean, you're catching him on chunk rock, secondary points, halfway back, in X amount of feet of water. You can probably move to the next cove within a few miles and do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If the wind's the same direction, all that kind of good jazz. And there's bait present. So I try to do that. And that way, A, it gives me a great amount of waypoints, because as I'm fishing along, I'm marking brush piles that I come across, that sort of thing. The other great way to learn, if you're really wanting to learn, two ways really. Don't be intimidated. Go fish as a co-angler in a BFL or any anglers in, you know, any of the Anglers in Action, Joe Bass, any of the things that have co-angler formats. Just go sign up and go fishing. You'll get put with mostly, I've had mostly great experiences. Now, no pains in the butt in the front of the boat. I've always been super nice to my co-anglers, because I used to be one. That's a great way to learn. And the other way is go hire a guide. I still hire guides on lakes I've been on. But there's a big list of them. I mean, Mike Webb that runs ours, Eric Prey. I think Bass and Bob's got a whole stable of guys down there that, that guide at Lake of the Ozarks. Don't be afraid to hire them. And they love to talk fishing, so pick their brain. Don't be quiet.
Right.
Just keep picking. You're paying $400 or whatever. Just keep picking. They love it.
Keep asking questions.
They love it. I mean, Mike Webb's been guiding, I think, for 30 years at Table Rock.
Wow.
He's forgotten more about that lake than most people know.
Right.
And he's a really good, what I call a video game fisherman.
Yeah.
He can fish vertically and watch the fish bite on the graph.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mike's really, really good at that.
Right.
I'm not, but that's why I would go to Mike.
Right.
Hey, teach me.
Yeah.
Show me. I've just switched from Lowrance to Hummingbird. I'm going to go hire somebody that's a Hummingbird guy to help me speed up the learning curve.
Yeah.
I was up to 130 last night, transferring all my Lowrance waypoints to Hummingbird format and deleting any extras. And yeah, I got it down to like 5,000, I think, is what I've got. The kid that bought my boat really wanted me to leave him, but I left the music, but he wasn't getting those.
He wasn't getting those. That's great stuff. Unfortunately, we are just about out of time. Mike Marfell, the fisherman, has been in here with us for this edition of Second Memory.
Watch Anglers in Action on Facebook. I believe you can watch their weigh-ins. A lot of the tournaments down there, people don't know that. So you can get an idea. Guys talk on, if you're going down to Lake of the Ozarks, not only Bass and Bob, but watch the Facebook weigh-ins, the live streamed feeds of the weigh-ins, and you guys will explain how they caught them, where they, you know, not exact, but gives you an idea, starting point.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
No,
right?
That's all you need.
That's the fun, is figuring out yourself, right?
Anglers in Action on Facebook. Check it out.
Anglers in Action and Web Outdoors on Facebook. When we have a tournament, they post the weigh-ins live.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Mike, I love talking fishing. I appreciate
you being
in this week. I hope we can have you back real soon.
I hope so, too. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, you bet. Aaron Tarlow will be back next week, and we hope that you are back next week. For producer Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Big thanks to Mike Marfell, and thank you to you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.